was kind of cute, wasn't I? But that was a long time ago.
I know. Don't remind me. I'm too old for this.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 22 for the Triple Two. It's called Baby Makes Five, ruining of the whole two thing. Boo. All right, everybody. Here are your hosts, Tari Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Before we start talking about the 22nd episode of the second season of Beverly Hills 90210, which only brings us up to Valentine's Day. Just a reminder, you can buy an ad on this podcast. It's $50 for a personal message, $100 for a commercial message. And since the holidays are coming up, if you have an Etsy store, maybe this would be the place that you could let people know about merchandise in your Etsy store that they might want to shop before the holidays.
Did we actually mention how you, the Earl you go to last episode?
No, I'm not sure we did. I don't think we did. I can re-record it for...
That's okay.
Okay.
It'll be a mystery. It'll be only for the truly dedicated ad buyers. But for those,
I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. But it is previously.tv/ads.
Yep. Sorry.
Yeah. On with the show, 222.
Yeah, so this one has three storylines. The C story is really more like an F-minus story, but let's get into it. It's Valentine's Day. Dylan has made plans for him and Brenda, but he won't tell her what, except to tell her they'll be lying down. Did you enjoy that scene? Great, you're going to see it five more times. Brenda cannot handle the idea of being surprised by whatever he was going to do. She tried to get Brandon to tell her. He won't, but he makes an obnoxious kiss face, which you can see in the visual aids, if you dare. And when
you
she...
You don't. It's horrible.
You might want to have it for a reaction gif, maybe. Anyway, when she nags him some more, Dylan finally gives her an oblique hint in clip number two.
It's red, and it's warm.
You're giving me a sweater?
No, it's a little more intimate than that.
A red flannel lingerie?
Funny. No, it's closer to your heart.
Red, warm, and close to my heart. I don't have a clue.
Good.
Who cares? Later, he's...
Won't stop her from asking a million more times, but
nope.
Oh my God.
And the next time she asks, she's in the middle of making a sandwich with so much mayonnaise. His last clue is that you have to be 17 to do what they're going to do. And the only reason I bring up this scene is that Jim and Cindy come out. They're on their way to their early bird Valentine's dinner, and Dylan eyes down Cindy so lasciviously. I mean, she does look great, other than the banana clip, which you can see in the visual aids, but I had to make a gif of it because he looks at her like he wants to jump her bones for real. It's remarkable. Like, I'm surprised that the director wasn't like, maybe pull that reaction back. It's a little much. Anyway, Jim is concerned that Dylan's going to take Brenda to do something dangerous, but he promises that they will be well protected and in a public place and tells Brenda she should wear short sleeves. When he comes to pick her up, he's got a huge cliched bouquet of roses. They're going to see a play, but first they're going to give blood. She admits that if he had told her, she might not have come, and he knows that she is scared, but he has his reasons, and they are as follows in clip number three.
Actually, I've been wanting to do it for a long time. See, when I was a little kid, I was in an automobile accident. My head went through the windshield until I got the scar. I needed a lot of blood. Anyway, I decided that when I got older, I'd give some back. I thought you wouldn't do it with me.
But why tonight?
The accident happened on Valentine's Day.
I mean... traumatic brain injury, quote unquote, jokes aside.
Yes.
This is actually a pretty sweet idea for Valentine's Day.
I agree.
I think I might bring my husband to gift blood on Valentine's Day because why not? Blah. Who else is going to want to do with it? Nobody. Oh, hey, Drac.
Cross podcast promotion.
This seriously was like, make a reference to it off screen. We did not need the 14 scenes.
No, it was so much. Right. I just really wonder how much time. was short in this episode, that they had to pad out this nowhere storyline so much.
But my favorite part of that whole idea is after they give blood, they're like, actually, we kind of wanted to take those bags and give them to each other. We actually didn't want to donate. This is awkward.
Yeah.
Or like in the credits, like while the credits are rolling, you see Angel standing outside in the parking lot. They're like, bro, just hand him off.
Yeah. Or Chloe Sevigny from American Horror Story just sucking him back like she was in the latest episode. Anyway, it is a sweet idea. I hope when you go and do it with your husband, Sarah, that you two don't hold hands while you're doing it, because that is smurfy. Oh,
no.
No comment. I thought you were silent for so long. And we're like, well, now I won't.
We hold hands. We cross our legs with each other. Yeah. We do Eskimo kisses throughout the blood drain.
Every blood center I've ever been to, it's like not really possible to even do that.
Yeah.
Like, they take all the blood on the same, whatever. Let's move on.
This has been blood talk.
Oh my God, I need that.
B story. The track. As Sarah mentioned at the end of the last episode, there will be horsies, and here they come. At the Peach Pit, Steve is yammering to Brandon about whether or not he's going to send Kelly a Valentine. Andrea is curious about Nat reading the racing form, and when he hands it over to her, she picks out one that he says is a long shot. And when Brandon and Steve insert themselves in the conversation, as you know they have to, as men, we hear the following in clip number 4.
That was sexist.
What do you know about horse racing, Andrea?
Nothing. I just like the name of the horse.
Andrea, you can't pick a horse by the name.
It's just a feeling, all right?
Nat, would you please explain to this girl that picking a horse is a statistical science?
Sometimes. I had a girlfriend once, used to do the same thing. She would pick a winner every time. Of course, I never listened to her.
Take the 3 on the 8th race, Nat. It's coming in loud and clear.
Well, I learned my lesson never to argue with a woman's intuition. Ugh. Oh, what's the name of this horse anyway?
Lovesick.
Oh, Andrea. Have some dignity, please.
I can't believe fucking Brandon is equine splaining to Andrea. What the fuck do you know about horse racing? Shitbag. Why? Because you're short enough to be a jockey?
Wow.
Angry.
They really are. Well, I mean, not so much Steve, but yeah, Brandon's just like, you're more part of this conversation. Like, mind your own business for once in your fucking life. Anyway, the next day, of course he can't, Nat tells Steve and Brandon that Andrea's horse came in, as we hear in clip number 5.
Your girlfriend's horse paid 15-1.
She's not my girlfriend, Nat, okay?
Yeah, well, maybe you should reconsider.
I mean, like,
please don't. She's got enough problems.
And do you really think that Nat thinks she's literally your girlfriend? And do you have to correct him immediately? Like, what are you in 5th grade? Good God. Anyway, Andrea comes in. Nat tells her the news. We don't get any specifics about how much money he actually made, which is annoying to me. But Nat hands Andrea the racing form and tells her to do it again. Steve and Brandon confidently say she will not be able to, but Nat disagrees in the most disgusting way possible in clip number 6.
Oh, that's it, baby. Come on. Come on. Feel it, baby. Mm-hmm. She's got something.
Ugh.
That's his narration for her looking at the racing form. Gross.
I'll have to discuss this further, but I appear to have barfed myself inside out.
and gone deaf. yeah, disgusting. And then, of course, turns out Andrea's got a pick, after all, in clip number 7.
The 3rd race, number 5, unrequited.
I'm beginning to sense a pattern starting to form here. First lovesick, now unrequited.
It's a feeling, that's all.
Good girl.
What's with the Pink Panther music?
I don't know. Because it's a caper, Dave.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Seriously, Andrea. I feel so bad. Like, I want to take her to a cabin for like an empowerment weekend because she's so embarrassing. When we next pick up this storyline.
They're all so embarrassing. Is this the clip, The Night of 1,000 Horrible Hats? Or is that the next one?
I think it's the next one. Yes.
There is a clip in our visual aids of like every single person, including background actors, is wearing a completely unacceptable hat or cap, particularly Brandon.
It's because it's hat day at the track when they get there, but that is no excuse for the hats that they have particularly chosen. Moving on. Nat picks up the payphone, as if the Peach Pit doesn't have a phone. Andrea has picked another winner. Steve wants to take her to the track and let Andrea pick and Nat place the bets on all their behalves. Nat doesn't want to do that because they're minors and he could get arrested. But Steve is like, fuck you getting arrested. Let's do it anyway. He wants them each to throw in $100, which, of course, Andrea doesn't have. And Nat only caves when they agree to knock it down to just 75. And so when we get back to the track on hat day, Andrea is looking at the racing form and not getting any vibes. And then we're introduced to Duke, who is going to have a big, big role in Brandon's storyline in season three. But for now, he's just Nat's buddy, and he is Billy Vera, Billy Vera and the Beaters. And it turns out Andrea has a pick after all in clip number 8.
The seven horse.
Seven horse?
Yeah, what do you think?
Ground Amour, just shipped in from Argentina, 8-1.
Ground Amour, that means big love.
We get it.
Very good, Steve.
So it's another in the series. First lovesick, then unrequited, now grand amour.
Sounds like a bet to me.
Yeah, we've been watching the episode. We don't need a recap. Thank you. We're in the middle of it.
And
God.
If you're going to recap it, hurry the fuck up. Spit out your lines.
Yeah. So Grand Amour wins. Everyone is amazed by Andrea, including Duke, who calls her little lady, which I guess is supposed to be a compliment. But as the day goes on, Andrea is not having any more twinges until she sees a horse called Cupid's Wings. Barf. It's an 80-1 shot that hasn't come in on her last 6 races. Andrea thinks she's sure. Brandon and Steve go and get hot dogs, and please go to the visual aids to look at the gif that I made of this, because Andrea has never looked more like their mother than she does in this moment. Not just because she looks way older, but she does this huge, like, this huge physical thing as they're leaving. Like, she's just so excited to be out with her boys, and then when they're gone, I can't describe it. Please just go to the visual aids and see it. It is the cringiest.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, and you really have to see it, but yeah, it's very like caretaking and maternal and Mother's Day-y, and it's...
Yes, Mother's Day. That's exactly what it looks like. She's thrilled to be out with her boys on Mother's Day. That's the 100% the vibe that she gives, and it's not good. And when Andrea goes to... She sees Duke and goes over to tell him her pick, and he explains why this horse is a shit bet, which is it's a claiming race. All the horses are for sale. And this one sucks, and there's probably no way that she can win. So Andrea runs over to Nat, who's in line to place his latest bet, to tell him that she was wrong, and recaps what Duke said. Again, more repetition. And adds that she's just been making blind guesses, and that Nat should bet on a horse called Follow Me Home, which is 5-1. Nat really wants to bet on the long shot because it'll pay out more, and Andrea insists. So Nat goes up to bet, but he won't tell her what to do. And then Follow Me Home wins, and Steve and Brandon are dicks in clip number 9.
Can't believe it. Great, Andrea. Remind me never to take you to Las Vegas.
Hey, fuck off. No one told you that you had to take her bets. Give me a break.
Ugh. Yeah, seriously. If you know so much better, why weren't you picking your own whatever?
Yeah,
fuck off.
It's the stock storyline all over again in every way. So Duke comes by and says he hopes that Andrea got Nat to take his advice. Nat keeps a poker face, but then he finally says that he did. He did bet on Follow Me Home, so they did win, and Andrea's going to quit while she's ahead. Won't want. That's the end of the storyline. I really only made those so many clips because so many of them are disgusting and or sexist, and it's remarkable how bad they are. Moving on, finally the A story.
Speaking of bad.
Yep, Jackie's dead rabbit. So as we heard at the last episode, Jackie is pregnant. And so when we open...
Can I just interrupt?
Yeah.
Actually, it's so funny that someone actually gets that reference still. When my mother told my father that she was pregnant with me, it was via a little Hallmark card with a dead rabbit on it.
Oh, is that true?
Which my dad still has. Yeah, it's true.
I thought you were going to say she put a dead rabbit on the kitchen table.
Guess what?
Yeah, actually, he didn't get it at first, so then she whipped out an actual dead rabbit. Yeah.
Tell us in the comments if you know why that's a thing. I feel like this is something that younger people don't know about, the dead rabbits and pregnancy.
They used to inject rabbits with pregnant women's urine, and they died.
I know. I was curious to get a poll. Oh,
okay.
Like, people know. Oh, well.
All right, just
if you knew, plus one raisins. To Aklark, and if you didn't know, negative one raisins to Aklark. And by that, I mean, please don't.
Yeah, don't.
Never again with the Twitter poll.
And that was before there actually were Twitter polls for real.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Jackie, as we open the episode, is looking at her photo album, which include real photos of a young Anne Gillespie, who plays Jackie, with real babies and real photos of Jenny Garth. And it's actually really cute. I love it when shows do that.
It is.
As we heard up top, Kelly agrees that she was very cute when she was a baby, and Jackie says she's going to the doctor today, even though she's pretty sure that all the home pregnancy tests that she took are right. So Kelly asks what Mel thinks of all this, and Jackie deflects, but Kelly presses, and we hear the results in clip number 10.
He doesn't know.
What?
Kelly, he doesn't want any more children. All he can talk about is how happy he is that you and David are nearly grown so that we can enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, but you still have to tell him.
Kelly, it's not that easy.
Why not? I mean, he doesn't want a baby. You don't want a baby. Why don't you just tell him that you're taking care of it?
Oh, boy. This is awkward.
Because this is TV in the 90s, and that doesn't get, quote, taken care of.
Nope, it sure doesn't.
Still doesn't.
I'm actually surprised they use the word, which we will get to. But anyway, at school, Kelly is distracted. David comes over to ask if it's okay for him to bring Donna to the Valentine's Day dinner that the Taylors have planned for the Silvers. And Kelly says that, no, he can't. So David is like, okay. And once he's left, Donna is sort of hurt because she thinks it's because Kelly is still not into Donna dating David. And Kelly says she has her reasons, but she doesn't want to talk about them. And so the girls put the pressure on, and she finally cracks in clip number 11.
Kelly, come on, you can talk to us. We're your best friends, remember?
Right. If you can't trust us, who can you trust?
Okay, but you guys have to promise not to tell anyone, and I mean it.
It crossed my heart.
Me too, it's crossed. David's father and my mother... I can't believe this is happening.
What?
They're always harping on us to be so careful.
No. What?
Oh, Donna. Stuff. Basically. So now that Donna finally has to be told what's happening, she goes to the DJ booth to apologize to David for how Kelly was acting before. David says he thinks that he knows why. And after swearing Donna to secrecy, he tells her about it in clip number 12.
That's all right. She probably sensed something's up.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Can you keep a secret?
Of course.
My dad told me he's planning on asking Kelly's mom to marry him on Valentine's Day.
Oh, wow, that is so romantic, especially under the circumstances.
What circumstances?
Come on, David, don't play dumb. Kelly already told me about the baby.
The baby?
Wait a second. You don't know?
Know what?
Oh, God. Forget it, David. Forget I said a word.
No. Donna, tell me. What's going on?
I can't tell you. I promise. Kelly will kill me.
Come on, Donna. I'm your boyfriend.
Okay. But you have to swear this didn't come from me.
You can trust me.
Kelly's mom is pregnant.
What?
Well, that's probably why your dad is asking her to marry him.
No way. There must be some sort of misunderstanding.
Oh, God. I knew I shouldn't have said anything.
Donna, that can't be true. My dad would have told me about something like this.
Maybe. Except for one thing.
What's that?
Maybe your dad doesn't know.
That was interminable. Interminable.
And it had to keep going even after Donna said he doesn't, you know, especially because of the baby. Like, what baby? What baby do you think? Like, use your head. No. What are you, Donna?
What do you mean?
Anyway.
Really? The stork came. What are you, a moron?
Right. So David goes to try and gauge whether Mel knows or not. Again, he actually is good at keeping a secret. But Mel can tell he is stricken. He's excited to show.
Oh, wait. First, we have to talk about the shitty secret keeping of the Walsh family.
Oh, we're not there yet. That's still to come.
That's not clip 13?
Yeah, but this scene is in between. We're not to clip 13 yet. There's no clip for this scene because it's so dumb. The only reason it exists is so that Mel can show David the super ugly ring that he has bought for Jackie. Please go and look at it in the visual aids and be amazed that someone that worked on a TV show thought this was a super great ring to put on and broadcast to the nation. But anyway, Mel just thinks that David's distraction is because he's nervous about Mel remarrying and is something bothering him. And David's like, should something be? Mel speeches him about always being there for him. And that's what marrying Jackie is what he wants. He's very happy. And David says that, I guess I'm happy too, and doesn't tell him that Jackie's pregnant. Meanwhile, Kelly is yelling at Donna for telling David. Donna then breaks the news to Kelly that Mel is proposing. Donna is confident it's all going to be fine. And then we're at the Walsh's, where Brenda tries to blind item the situation in an extremely transparent way that even Jim can figure out. And here are his thoughts in clip 13.
Well, it's not exactly the kind of secret that can be kept for very long, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, we know what you mean, Dad. Thanks.
Well, we know what you mean, A, and B, this is like the perfect time in fashion history to keep exactly that secret. I had a classmate who totally hid it from us for like ever.
Really?
Like, nobody knew about it for like 10 years. Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. That's true, though.
It was like XXL t-shirt.
Yeah.
Bike shorts era.
Yeah. Or leggings. Yeah,
you're
right.
She wore the same shit she always wore. I think she had the baby in like August, timed out perfectly.
Yeah. Wow. Good for her.
And given what Jackie usually wears, like, it's pretty blousy up in there. Like, she could probably hide behind one of her giant shield earrings until at least like the 40th week. So.
Totally.
Shut up, Jim, is my point.
Cindy's all, oh, a baby. And Brenda claims that she would like it if Cindy were pregnant, but I doubt it. Cindy says she's going to call Jackie, but Brenda says that she can't because it's a secret. And Cindy just says she hopes it works out. Not so much working out when we cut back to the Taylor manse, where Jackie is yelling at Kelly for telling Donna. Jackie didn't think that Mel would hear about her pregnancy from Donna. Kelly says that David didn't necessarily tell Mel, which he didn't, as we know, but they don't. And then Kelly tells Jackie about the proposal, and Jackie assumes that it's because of her pregnancy, and Kelly blames herself, and Jackie lets her off the hook. And then Jackie goes to Mel's office with mega raccoon eyes. Like, it's really a lot of eyeliner for just going to see a dentist, but whatever.
It's worse than when she was, like, coked out at the fashion show, actually.
It is! I cut a clip of it in the visual aids. It's really a lot. Mel's receptionist is super rude about letting Jackie through because she doesn't know who she is, and then when she finds out, she's extremely apologetic, of course. And then Mel and Jackie have a very sitcom-y fight in front of his patient. And I say sitcom-y because it's exactly the same as a fight that happens in front of another dental patient in Friends a few years later. But let's hear that in clip 14.
Mel, I know you know.
Know what?
I know what you're doing, Mel, and I appreciate it. Really, I do. But I can't let you go through with it.
What are you talking about?
Valentine's Day dinner, for starters. It's off.
You came all the way down here to cancel a dinner party? Couldn't you have done that on the phone? I'm in the middle of a root canal.
Well, this won't take long. I'm letting you off the hook. You should be thanking me.
What hook?
It's all over, Mel. I won't let you marry me out of some sense of obligation.
Jackie, what are you talking about?
Oh, come on, Mel. It's no secret that you don't want any more children. Admit it.
Well, I don't...
No, I've made up my mind. I thought about this long and hard, and I believe in a woman's right to choose. I really do. But this is the only choice for me. I have to keep this baby.
Baby? You're going to have a baby?
It's okay. You don't have to pretend for my sake. I know you know. That's why I came as soon as I could.
Jackie,
please, just let me finish. This isn't easy for me either. But I've made my decision. I don't think we should see each other anymore.
What?
I won't ask you for child support. I won't make any demands on your time or your checkbook. I'm going to do this myself. I'm sorry it had to work out this way, but that's it.
Jackie!
No! I've made up my mind. I love you, Mel. But I'm sorry. It's over.
Jackie! you hear that? I'm gonna have a baby.
Congratulations.
What is that noise in the background?
It's because he's got the suction thing in his mouth.
The saliva thingy.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. So, comedy.
That's the only thing that sucked in that scene.
It sucks.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean,
not credible. Nothing about it is credible.
Nope.
Not the dialogue. Not neither of them knowing what the other one is going to say or is talking about.
Mm-mm.
The huge long pauses. There is seriously almost no plot in this episode, and it just is being taffy pulled into infinity.
Yep. Here's some more. Jackie goes home and
Yay!
There's more recapping to come, Sarah. Get ready. Jackie recaps this conversation for Kelly, basically. Lying in Kelly's bed, hugging her teddy bear. Jackie is full of
self... Leaking mascara all over her pillowcases as well. Like, do that in your own room.
Also, if we can just back up for 1 second, I forgot to say this. When Jackie's like, I won't ask you for child support, like, I mean, okay. I hate that TV characters do this because I feel like it gives all of the teen moms on MTV the idea that if they try to get child support for their children from their baby's children, they're bad mothers or something, or they'll drive them away or whatever. But that aside, how is Jackie going to support this kid without child support? She does not have a job that we know of.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's all. Anyway.
Okay.
Jackie's full of self-incrimination, as she says. And then Kelly asks her the big question in a long clip 15.
Mom, why are you going through with this when you don't have to?
I told you already. It's not that easy.
What, you're just gonna lose Mel? Like, he's the first guy you've met in years who actually cares about you. And who you might even love. All that just so you can have a baby you don't even want?
Oh, Kelly, it's my baby. It's a part of me. I can't just get rid of it. Why not? You've
Atta
never
girl.
Had an abortion.
Have you?
Yeah.
When
you were about 10 years old. I was partying all the time, and I'm embarrassed to admit I barely even knew the father. For me, it was the right thing to do.
When I was little, I always used to want a little brother or a little sister. I wish for it all the time. Whenever I threw a penny into a fountain or blew out a candle.
Well, sweetie, it looks like you got your wish.
I'm still Team Kelly, but I'm not sure the immediate response to your mother telling you that she had an abortion is, I always wanted a sibling. Just saying.
Yeah, great job, Bob.
I mean... It's just a little awkward.
This is
awkward.
A really, like, given this was a spelling show, like,
yeah.
Primetime on Fox at that time, that's a pretty good scene. And I think they really picked a good acting pair
mm-hmm.
to give it to that, I don't know, Gillespie is really good with scenes like that, that
mm-hmm.
she's just like, I'm human, whatever.
Yeah, I agree. They're good together, and I like that she doesn't judge herself for it after the fact. Like, for me, it was the right decision. Like, yeah, it sounds like it really was. Damn. I mean, you know, it's not that there's really a wrong reason to do it, but that one is like, that's a good story and it's good in context and it, you know, tells us more about her character.
Yeah, I mean, I think they did feel obligated to put it in the context of her, like, being fucked up on drugs, but
right.
It's better than nothing. And at least they used the word and
yeah.
it actually got worse sort of after this. I feel like this was one of the last times that this kind of frank conversation about that
mm-hmm.
got to happen, but I could be wrong.
It is funny to look at the differences in between like what's accepted on TV now versus then, like, you know, in the episode where Kyle tells Kelly that he thinks he's gay and that it's such a big deal, like now it's so commonplace for there to be gay characters on TV. But yeah, you're right. Like, I feel like with reproductive rights, it really has rolled backwards in the last, you know, 20 odd years rather than forwards in terms of acceptance politically as well. But still, it's, you know, good for the show for taking this position on it and letting a character say more than once it would be okay if you got an abortion, because it would if that were her decision.
Yeah, it's true.
Moving on, more fucking recapping. David shows up at Mel's office where Mel is despondent, and then Mel has to gently break the news to David that Jackie is pregnant, and then David has to recap the whole gossip chain to him again. But Mel really wants to get back together with Jackie, and he's prepared to beg. And so he does. He goes over to the Taylor manse where Kelly coldly lets him in. And then this ensues, clip 16.
Mel, please just go away. I don't want to talk about this anymore. I've made up my mind.
Well, I haven't.
Well, it's not your decision to make. It's mine. I'm going to have this baby whether you like it or not.
What is her problem?
Her hormones are in flux, Mel. I think it has a little bit to do with being pregnant.
Well, I wish you would talk some sense into her.
Oh, and what would you like me to say?
Tell her that I don't want to lose her.
You know, you have a lot of nerve coming here. You walk in, you sweep her off her feet, and then because the two of you can't keep your pants on, my whole life is about to fall apart. How could you let this happen?
We made a mistake. It was stupid. We should have been more careful.
Words are cheap now, all right?
Kelly, I love her.
Then send her a Valentine. But then again, I guess you already did.
First of all, what? Second of all, if you really love her, throw that ring in the garbage. Get a real one.
Yeah.
Just knowing that that existed hurts my heart.
I'm like, picturing
it
now.
A gumball machine?
It's so ugly. It's so ugly.
It's so ugly.
Yeah. So then later, Donna and David are riding bikes. Donna notices that he's been silent the whole time, and he thinks there's yet more recapping, if you can fucking believe it. And then Donna tells David to go and talk to Jackie. So he does. Kelly tries to get rid of him, but Jackie's willing to talk to him, if not Mel. And they take up let's rap positions on the stairs, which you can see in the visual aids.
So true.
David makes an appeal on Mel's behalf. Jackie and her shoulder pads are kind, but not really interested. She knows that Mel has plans that don't include kids. She doesn't want him to feel like he's obligated by her pregnancy. There's yet more fucking goddamn recapping of all the misunderstandings we've just spent this entire episode watching. And then David finally breaks the news to Jackie that she was actually the one who told Mel about her pregnancy and did so when she went over to dump him, which is true. So when we next see Jackie, she in her bright shirt cerise suit show up at Mel's office once again with raccoon eyes, because that's what you do when you go to the dentist. And she hopes she's not interrupting. He's glad to see her, and she tells him about her conversation with David. She asks him to confirm the timeline of when he knew what, and he does. So then she is sorry that she made a fool of herself, but he doesn't care. He loves her passion. And in terms of not wanting more kids, he says there's a baby coming who needs both of them, and they kiss, and then he calls to the receptionist to bring in a box on his desk, which apparently he gave to her for safekeeping, and for some reason she didn't just set it on fire, because she brings it in, and hangs around for so long that Mel has to be like, and then she leaves, and then he kneels to propose to Jackie, and she accepts, and it's actually sweet. I liked them as a couple until everything fell apart. I always felt like they sort of sold out Mel's character just for the sake of a storyline. And
yeah,
I did not think that was fair.
Yeah, that
Mel.
Was weird. But I did like that Jackie and David always had like a good relationship. It
yeah.
felt realistic.
Yes,
like,
they did.
When everything went down. And I didn't remember that the groundwork was sort of laid for that here, where
yeah.
she's like, well, Mel can go scratch, but I won't be mean to David.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. They were good together.
I love Jackie.
Me too. Jackie's the best. So at the end of this storyline, Kelly and Don are fawning over the Valentine's Day that Steve got Kelly. Like, I don't know where the storyline is going this season. It's really weird how often they bring up like the bond that the two of them have, considering it goes nowhere. But anyway.
Thank God.
Yeah. Donna did get to go to the Valentine's Day dinner after all. And when Jackie comes out to say dinner is almost ready, and Mel ties everything up in a bow in clip 17.
I want to make a toast.
Make it short.
Sparkling cider all around. To new beginnings. To you, Jackie. And to babies born of love.
Well, this is one Valentine's Day I'll never forget.
See, Cal, I told you everything would work out. Yeah, I guess it did. Well, if you guys are getting married, that means you two are brother and sister.
Oh, my God.
Womp womp. This was such a wheel-spinning episode. It is remarkable how much time they wrung out of all of the misunderstandings of the pregnancy and the proposal. Like, really,
it really
shocking.
Is so, so bad.
And insulting, frankly.
Yeah. To us, to the characters.
And to the, and even the other two storylines, like, we never go to the track again, we never hear about Dylan's automobile accident again, which, by the way, automobile. The only thing that really, other than as a setup for the wedding that's coming, which, like, the end of the last episode would have been fine, like, this really only serves to introduce Duke to us, and then we're not even going to see him again for, like, another season. So it's very strange. But now it's done, so let's wrap it up. Most valuable player. Jackie.
Yeah, not a lot to choose from, and I'm not crazy about her, like, frankly, way over-caffeinated dumping of Mel, but yes. That's not her fault.
Or her
it's the writer's
makeup.
Fault.
Agree.
Yeah, the eyeliner's not great, but she is usually the best, and she's the best again here.
I agree. Least valuable player. I'm going to go with Nat because that clip where he's urging Andrea on to make her pick really just skeeved me for like a week after I watched this episode again, and it's not okay.
That is totally fair. I'm not going to go with Nat. I am tempted to give it to Brandon.
Okay.
For A, the hat, and B, that he's like giving Brenda shit at the, that he's like, you don't know how to keep a secret. And it's like, shut up, Brandon. But the actual least valuable player is the jeweler who sold that piece of garbage. It's so ugly, you guys. It is so ugly.
I mean, I know you guys are listening, go to the visual aids at previously.tv every week, as you should. But even if somehow you never have until this week, you gotta see this ring. We're not kidding about how fucking ugly it is.
It is terrible.
All right. And now the Brandon Death Challenge.
Oh, by the way, I want to say we contributed this to Curious Parker.
Yes, attributed it. Yes.
Sorry, did I say contributed?
Yes.
attributed this, but also like in a weird sort of, you know, the moment thing. It was actually suggested by her and another one of our mods, like within a day of each other.
You're right. There were
so
two.
So it's Moo Moo Chainsmoker and Curious Parker challenge.
I'm sorry. The Moo Moo Parker challenge.
Yeah, Moo Moo Parker.
Because one of them did it on the boards and one of them did it on Twitter.
Right.
I will never forget it now. The Moo Moo Parker challenge. Five ways from this episode that Brandon might have ended up dead. Number one, trampled by horses at the track.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Beaten up for wearing that hat.
My next one was going to be hat poisoning. I don't know how. whatever made all the hatters mad in olden times. Oh,
Not knowing about the rabbit test, he walks into a room full of rabbits, scared for their lives, knowing what's coming, and is mauled to death.
Yeah, that's good.
That's three.
Tough one to top.
No, that's four. We're up to four.
Four.
Got hat issues. Time were two separate ones. Number five, gets on the wrong side of Duke and gets shivved in the side, maybe. That guy is dangerous, soon find out. Not so soon.
Can't wait.
Eventually find out.
But yes, that's far down the road. Next time, we did see her again. Surf Betty is back and she's getting smacked around by Bosch. Meanwhile, yep. Brenda considers cheating on the stick insect with the single heterosexual male who has ever attended an aerobics class. Also, gym plus karaoke equals barf. And speaking of barf, you can see the visual aids for that episode and all the episodes of Again With This at previously.tv. You could follow us on Twitter at previously.tv, and you can follow me at Tomato Nation. You can follow my esteemed co-host, Tara, at Tara Ariano, and our fine producer is Dave. He's at Glark. See you next time.
Hi. You know what to do after the beep-a-rooney.